All right, this is part two of the Sports Gamble Podcast wide receiver breakdown. We also discuss a little DFS. And then at the end of the podcast, Manny discusses a few of his recent Vegas bets.
Real quick, though, because we talked about this a little bit, and it looks to me the first Washington Redskin off the board here. Now, Kirk Cousins was pretty amazing last year. He set all kinds of Redskin passing offense records. And, they have a shitty running game, bro. There's no way around it. They have a shitty running game. Right. They average like 3.7 yards, which is like a franchise low.
Uh-huh.
A historical franchise low. They didn't draft a running back. You know, they're counting on Matt Jones, who couldn't even hold on to the ball. You know, he was good for like a screen for 30 yards to the house, but that shit is so unpredictable, you know? So they straight up give him the keys to the running game. They're a passing offense. Why would they have DeSean Jackson as a first Redskin off, you know, number 33? That's kind of puzzling to me. Because they're pretty much saying like Kirk Cousins is going to do shitty this year, or Pierre Garçon is crap.
I just think DeSean Jackson is such a boomer bust. No, he's like a boomer bust kind of guy, especially in that offense.
Yeah, but it's a contract year, bro. It's a contract year for him. He's going to want to put up numbers and start bitching if he doesn't get, you know, the deep routes thrown to him. And I know that, you know, the leading receiver in yards, catches, and touchdowns last year was Jordan Reed.
Right.
So I think they're just going to step it up a notch and go deep. And I'm not saying DeSean Jackson is the get here. I'm just a little bit surprised that they have the first, you know, Washington Redskin off the board at 33. I don't know.
I just think that offense likes to spread around a lot. You're right. Jordan Reed catches a lot. He's just real boomer bust for me.
Hey, guess who Jordan Reed's backup is? And I know this isn't tight end show.
It's not. Is it the guy from the Niners that I told you?
No, it is, but it's the new guy, the new old guy from the Niners. The venereal disease.
Vernon Davis, right.
Yeah, brother.
Yeah,
he's his backup. I was pretty amazed to find that out today.
There's the connection with Scott McClellan, who drafted him when he was with the Niners. That's their new GM.
Okay. Yeah, it's all who you know. It's all who you know.
All right.
Okay, so you mentioned, you know, a nice little sleeper, right? Where was he at? What was the sleeper you mentioned?
I don't think he's necessarily a sleeper.
I think he is.
Crabtree in a PPR league can be. I think he's going to be consistent. I think he's a guy who can give you, you know, five.
Oh, you said Tyler Lockett. Tyler Lockett.
I think Tyler Lockett is just a little bit underrated, whereas Doug Baldwin's a little bit overrated.
Oh yeah, big time. Totally agree. Yeah, that's well put. So, okay, quick thing though.
Uh-huh.
How successful? They have Stephon Diggs here. Okay, so I like Stephon Diggs still. Stephon Diggs, wide receiver, Minnesota Vikings, number 39.
Mm-hmm.
We know wide receivers in Chip Smith's offense put up numbers. See D-Jax, see Jordan Matthews, you know, for the Philadelphia Eagles. See Jeremy Maclin on contract year. How successful is Torrey Smith going to be for the Niners on a Chip Kelly offense? Is he right at 42, or would you have him outside the top 50?
See, man, I mean, okay, full disclosure, I'm a Niner fan. I'm a Niner homer. I sometimes have.
Next question.
Dude, it's I want to say that the quarterbacks are going to suck, so Torrey Smith might not be that great, but I also want to say Chip Kelly's had some crappy quarterbacks put up some good numbers. So, I don't know, man. 42 seems about right. He's going to be your backup wide receiver on your team, or if you start three wide receivers like we do in the league, maybe he's like the third one.
Okay, because Torrey Smith is where he is. I already scrolled past him. And I'm looking at Marcus Sweeten here, and we know how much the Steelers like to throw it around. And maybe they're going to be without Le'Veon Bell. Maybe they're not. But Marcus Sweeten is here at 51. And Martavis Bryant is done for the year. He was doing ecstasy. And also, Heath Miller is retired. Now, I know they picked up Ladarius Green, the former San Diego Charger.
Right.
But wouldn't you have Marcus Wheaton a little bit higher than that? I mean, for God's sakes, at least above Steve Smith Sr. His motherfucker's a senior.
And I could have swore Steve Smith Sr. was retired. I mean,
no, he came back to get some kind of record.
Oh, God. Well, yeah, that seems kind of low for that offense, you know.
Right? I mean, who else is going to get catches? Is that, did they hire somebody I don't know? I don't know. With that said, I want to get into some sleepers. Yeah. You know?
Okay, and can I name the first one that I like?
I thought you did, with Tyler Lockett and Crabtree.
No, I didn't say sleepers. I said they were a little bit underrated.
Oh, okay. Go for it.
All right. I like the rookie out of New Orleans, Michael Thomas.
Oh, okay.
I think Drew Brees is going to have another good fantasy season like he always seems to do. And I think he's a big target, you know. He has some shoes to fill because they got rid of some receivers. I think he's going to be a good sleeper. You can get him pretty late, really late, I think. But that's a good guy that's going to be in a passing offense that's going to catch a lot of balls.
I mean, yeah, he's got to take over for Colston. And yeah. Bet you didn't know this. He's Keyshawn Johnson's nephew.
I didn't know that.
So do you still like him as a sleeper?
Yeah, I think he's
okay. All right,
that's a good connection.
Mm-hmm.
So you go ahead.
Okay, well, I have two.
All right.
So I hope I don't steal one of them from you. I think at 79, Kamar Aiken, he built that trust last year with that depleted Baltimore receiving corps. Breshad Perriman, the rookie they got last year, first round draft pick out of Maryland. He's like a deep threat. But just like me and you've been talking about, it's not so much that you need a deep threat, but so much as you need a guy that you can depend on that's going to catch the ball, you know, every time you throw it to him. And that's who it is for Joe Flacco right now, is Kamar Aiken. I don't, like I said, I think Steve Smith Sr.'s done, hence the name.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Kamar Aiken is a fucking steal at 79. He could possibly be their number one receiver, you know, when it's all said and done. And we're talking about 79 overall.
All right.
Big time. Second guy I have on here, like I said, I don't really think that they know exactly what's going to happen in Washington. And with that said, D-Jax missed a lot of the OTAs during the spring. So I think he built that rapport with Jamison Crowder, second-year rookie out of Florida. Mm-hmm. Big target underneath. I think he's going to be there. He's just a bigger wide receiver. He's just going to play opposite of Jordan Reed. Not like a double tight end set, but just a bigger slot guy. Compared to, they're going to have Pierre Garçon and D-Jax on the outside. But yeah. I think Jamison Crowder is ready to bust out. Jamison Crowder out of Duke, second year, Washington wide receiver, sleeper.
All right, a few more questions before we get out of wide receivers. Is Josh Gordon worth the stash?
Oh, good question. Yes, of course. He will be coming back the same game, game 5. I don't know who's at home, but it'll be versus Tom Brady. Oh, it sounds so unprepared. But yeah, oh man. Yeah, definitely worth the stash.
Yeah, but the difference is Tom Brady just, you know, almost led his team to another Super Bowl last year and...
Oh, no, I'm saying they're both going to come back. Josh Gordon. They're going to be their first game.
Yeah. But do we know Josh Gordon? Is he going to play that game? Like, we know Tom Brady's going to play and start.
Yeah, good question. Can you trust him? I mean, guy can't even pass a drug test after he's been done for the year. Gosh. I guess, I mean, I don't know how deep your league is as far as stashable or not.
Mm-hmm.
But he's just so damn good. I mean, I think he averages like 17 fantasy games every time, 17 fantasy points every time he steps on the field.
Right.
That's amazing. That's like above quarterback numbers. That's like better than Chad Pennington.
All right. And I got to give a shout out to number 108 on the list, Moritz Boringer. Just because I've never seen that name or heard it. And it's a pretty interesting name. He plays for Minnesota, apparently. You ever heard of that guy?
I haven't. If he's a rookie, I haven't finished watching the draft. I recorded it over the summer so I can watch it while nothing's going on, like in July. I haven't watched it, though, because there's some pretty good soccer on this summer. But I digress. What else did you want to ask me?
I just want to say keep an eye out for more. It's Moringer for Minnesota. If he catches a touchdown this year, man, you owe me a dollar.
Me?
Yeah. Or a beer at least or something.
What the hell? All right.
All right. Anything else about wide receivers?
I'm pretty sure I'll miss it, but I mean, it's okay. We can come back. Like some other show.
Cool. All right. So now we want to pivot just a little bit. And I want to talk a little bit about DFS, which stands for Daily Fantasy Sports. Manuel, do you play any DFS?
You make me.
I make you?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. Why do you make me?
So we play in those daily tournaments, you know?
It is I know.
Called daily.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I want to just give a quick public service announcement. For DFS, it's a scam. All right, you're never gonna win the $1 million. You're not gonna be that guy holding up the $1 million check. Okay, there are very few ways to win money in a fair way. All right, so you've tried these $1 million tournaments, right? It costs $20 to enter, and if you get the top score, you get $1 million.
So, hold on, let me get this. I have never played this tournament, so wait a second. You're saying you pay, like, it's like a $20 scratcher that you think you have a shot at winning?
That's basically what it is. Now, let me explain why it is a scam for those of you
who don't know. That's what you're making it sound like.
Let me explain why. Okay. A lot of these tournaments, most of these big money tournaments, you can put up to 200 entries in, okay? So, if you have the money, right, you can drop thousands of dollars and enter, you know, 100 different lineups. Now, there are a lot of really smart people who have really good computer software and have a lot of time on their hands to spend 8, 10, 12 hours a day creating optimal lineups, okay? And they have the money to put all these lineups in. You can check it yourself. You check all the winners. You might see a guy who, you know, won 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th place with his lineups. Just slightly different variations in each lineup. Okay? Unless you're one of these guys who are able to game the system, you're not going to win the money. Those are the guys winning the money. It's basically, there's 2% of guys that get paid by all the other 98% of the suckers who think they're going to win. They're going to scratch a lottery ticket and win, you know?
Sounds a lot like real life, brother.
What, the people who are smarter and better get the most money?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. But anyways, most of these big tournaments are a scam. I guess they're not necessarily rigged. It's not like these guys are, breaking the law. But they have the time. They have the money. The game is tilted in their favor.
I think they also have the degree and the formula for their algorithm.
They probably are smart enough to create their own algorithms and their own computer programs to input all these lineups and to analyze this stuff and to spend 8 hours, 10 hours a day, which for most people, fantasy sports is,
a click here, a click there.
Yeah, it's a hobby.
A thumb touch here and a thumb touch there.
Right, it's a hobby. You have a main job. Right. For these guys, their job is daily fantasy sports to get money from the suckers. Anyways, don't do it.
So wait, you're saying don't do it?
I'm saying don't do these big tournaments where you think you're going to win $1 million. The one way you can do it is what we started doing towards the end of the year last year, especially in the playoffs. You can go in to DraftKings. You can create your own tournament. You can invite your friends. DraftKings does take a little, percentage of the money, but you can set the amount. If you want it for $1, if you want it for $5, for $10, you can set what the payouts are.
In the game of life, the women are the rake. That's from Rounders, by the way.
Thank you. And that's how it can be fun, it can be fair, and you can have a good time. Don't use DFS trying to chase a dream. I did a lot last year. I'm not going to waste my money like that this year. The only way I'm going to do it is if we do it with the friends for, you know, $5-$10 here and there. And it's fun, and I know who's going to win, and it's one entry. It's not a ripoff. All right, I got off my soapbox about daily fantasy for a minute.
I hope you don't play, bro. That sounds like crap.
It's so fun.
Oh, then there you go. Then just play. Everybody, it's just discretion. You should do it at your discretionary income. Don't they have like $1 million games?
They do, but it's the same thing.
Well, just play that so you can get your nut off on that.
All right, good. That's how I'll play.
All right, cool.
All right. So, Manuel, you recently made a trip to Vegas, correct?
Yeah, I went. I had this bet from March Madness, and it was going to expire. So when you make a bet in Vegas, you can either mail it away, and you have done that, right, Rocha? But you said the check lagged it. So I'm more of like, I need my cash now. So I went to Vegas, and I cashed out my bet, and I had dinner, and I checked out some season totals, and I made a couple of bets based on those said season win totals. Uh-huh. So I want to let you guys know what happened, what I bet on.
Okay, let us know.
Okay, so basically the Chiefs, they got a wild card last year because the Broncos were like the number one seed, right?
Uh-huh.
So what do you think their season over win total is set at this year? The season over win total is like Vegas predicts how many wins your team should get. Well, and you can bet on it for them to go over or under.
Right. I'm looking right at it. It's 9.5.
Aw, bitch. I thought you could get. All right. Okay, it's 9.5, right?
Yeah.
And do you know what the record was last year?
I believe they won 10 games.
No, they won 11.
They won 11 games.
They started 1-5, and then they won, and then they went on a 10-game winning streak. Including busting all over the Houston quarterbacks and then getting spanked by Tom Brady.
Oh, man, dude. They did really well against the Houston. Oh, man, he sharded himself pretty good.
Yeah, those quarterbacks were shit-tastic.
Yeah.
Anyhow, okay, so they won 11-5, and you're thinking, oh, shit, they won 11-5. That's pretty good. And so, you know, they only have to win 10 games for me to win my bet. And now, you know, the greatness that was the sheriff, Peyton Manning, is retired. Like, oh, that's a great bet. I'm going to bet it over. Then you start delving into their schedule. And you look, actually first, before you delve into the schedule, I looked at last year at how they got those 11 wins. Well, they played Roethlisberger without Roethlisberger. Uh-huh. They played Pittsburgh without him.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Then they went to Denver and they played Denver. And that's the game Peyton got hurt and got fasciitis and then Brock Wester took over.
Right.
Okay. Then they went to Baltimore and they played without Flacco. I think they played like Jimmy Stewart or somebody like that. I don't even know.
Isn't Jimmy Stewart an old actor?
I don't know, dude. But they played him at quarterback. All right. And then we remember, like, then they hosted the Lions and they beat them. And then we saw how shitty the Lions were until they hired offensive Jim Bob Cooter at offensive coordinator. I don't know if you remember that, but just Jim Bob Cooter.
I can't
remember the
name. Yeah.
Exactly. Then they beat San Diego twice. Of course, they beat Oakland twice, Cleveland and Buffalo.
Uh-huh.
That was part of their 10-game winning streak. So I think that's pretty, I guess the word is fraudulent. They're frauds. Okay? Now we look at the schedule this year. They play at Houston, playoff revenge with Brock Osweiler. At the time, I didn't know when I made the bet that J.J. Watt was going to be hurt. But I still trust Romy Crennel to come up with a good scheme to stop whatever, you know, Andy Reid comes. I don't even know what Jamal Charles is going to be when he goes to that situation. Mm-hmm. Then they play at Pittsburgh, and then they go to Andrew Luck at Indianapolis. Now get this, okay?
All right.
They play 3 games in 11 days, bro. They go to Denver, then they go to Atlanta in the Dome, and then they play at Oakland on a Thursday night. That's between November 27th and December 8th. 3 games in 11 days. So, bam, I plunk down my shit on the under on the Chiefs.
All right.
Okay, so I still studied other schedules, right? But I stay within division, so I'm thinking, okay, who's mostly going to benefit from the Chargers Oh, so I just gave it away. Who's mostly going to benefit from them going under? Uh-huh. And what I did was I looked at the Chargers schedule.
They lost a lot of close games last year, right?
They lost a lot of close games. Not only that, but I really think that they're really going to rebound, have a better offensive line. What's his name? Phillip Rivers is just going to get Keenan Allen back. And with that better offensive line, Melvin Gordon is going to take some touchdowns to the house. Ladarius Green, their tight end, moved on to the Pittsburgh Steelers. But they got a rookie, and we talk about him in the tight end show, Hunter Henry out of Arkansas in the second round. He's there, and he's not even there to replace Antonio Gates. Antonio Gates is still there, so they're going to share it by committee, and I think Antonio Gates is going to show him the rope. And the reason they got rid of Ladarius Green was because he really wasn't much of a blocking tight end. So I just think that they're going to put it all together. Not only that, but magically, Ken Whisenhunt got fired by the Tennessee Titans, and now he's offensive coordinator for Phillip Rivers. And Phillip Rivers' best offensive career year was when Ken Whisenhunt was their offensive coordinator, and that was only for 1 year, which was the first year of the current coach. His name slips my mind right now. My mind's traveling like a million miles a second. But I think San Diego is really going to benefit from them. And I recently heard on another podcast that the Sharps are really betting it over. And I was still willing to plunk down my money at 7. They have to win over 7 games.
Uh-huh.
And it opened up at 6.5. So ooh. I think it's really going to close like at 8. Because even when I got there, I bet it with a juice of minus 140. So meaning I had to bet 140 to win 100. So I think it's really heading to 7.5, maybe 8 by the time it's all said and done with. And that's what I bet. Not only that, but I think they actually face off in week 1, and I went ahead and took advantage, and I took the Chargers plus 7. Number 463, if you look it up right now, I think it's down to like 4.5. So I got a good number. I'm not really betting like a G, like max limits, but I think the Chargers over. And I think I can really look for a Chiefs regression. Mm-hmm. And I think those are all 3 winning bets.
All right. Now, I'm looking at your notes here. And one of the – this is a different bet. One of the trends that we were following for a while was that the Super Bowl winner, they always play on opening night on Thursday, didn't cover. Right?
Uh-huh.
And I think last year the Super Bowl winner did cover. The Patriots covered against the Steelers.
Well, it depends when you bet it, actually.
Depends on when you bet it. But, right, it could have been a push, right?
So, yeah, could have been a push.
Uh-huh. But this year, we have actually a Super Bowl rematch on Thursday. We have the Broncos and the Panthers. And the Panthers are getting 2.5 points. What do you think about that one?
Man, I would love to bet the Panthers. But I think Norman's a big loss, and I don't think they could just solve their quarterback like the defensive riddle that is the Denver Broncos. Now, I know the Denver Broncos lost Malik Jackson even to the Jacksonville Jaguars, but he only had like 5.5 sacks, so he didn't have double-digit sacks. Like, DeMarcus Ware played like half a year. He's going to be back. They signed LeVon Miller. They lost like one linebacker, Danny Trevathan to the Bears. They lost an offensive lineman to the Jets. Ryan Clady. I don't really see it as a huge loss. Like I said, Peyton Manning was a corpse last year. So I really think the Sharps are going to bet the hell out of it. And I do mean the under. And so I would bet the under if they haven't gotten a hold of it yet. I would put it at like maybe 42.5. And I would bet that now. I haven't bet it. Because, like I said, I'm trying to concentrate my bankroll on other things right now. I might just watch, to be honest with you. I might just watch.
I think that 2.5 number is probably going to go down, and I like Carolina in that game. Might sound like a square pick, but I mean, give me the points, and it's going to be a nice revenge game.
And another thing is, I can't bet Carolina knowing that it opened up like 5.5.
That's true. Like, I mean, 2.5 is not a good number. You could have got it a lot better earlier.
I hate getting numbers that – I mean, when I found out that the Chargers opened up 6.5 and I could have had 6.5, I was like, fuck. But I just couldn't pass it up because that's the only real bet that I felt strongly about. And I know it sounds kind of homerish, you know, but I did look at, you know, other NFL teams, and I didn't feel strongly enough about them, honestly.
Right.
I think there's a lot of good numbers out there.
Right.
And there's just so many unknowns, you know, like, you know, the Dolphins get a new coach, you know, Brady's going to be out 4 games, Jordy Nelson, how healthy is he going to be back? If he sucks balls, Green Bay Packers are going to suck balls again. Because, like I said earlier, Green Bay Packers, you know, Aaron Rodgers had the lowest pass average in the season last year. And we're talking – Blaine Gabbert played last year. You know what I mean?
Man, Blaine Gabbert was completing some 3-yard dump offs.
That's some fucking low number, you know? So, you know, I don't know. I'm looking a lot – I think people are down on the Bengals. I might look into their over, but I haven't bet it yet. We'll see.
All right. Any other sports bets that you want to talk about?
I made some college bets, but we can talk about them later.
Cool. All right. Well, this was our podcast. I want to give a special shout out to Arthur Vargas because he said, you know, why don't we ever shout him out? And thank you for listening. We got to get you on the pod.
You know, I want to give a special shout out to Tiffany Rocha. She always did. Getting us listeners. Well, she always giving us listeners, yo. Really? That's what's up.
That is what's up. Hey, Tim Gilmore, you know, he's listening. That's a cool guy. He wants to get on and talk about MMA. I don't know anything about that, but I would love to have him on to talk about it.
Quick thing, though. I think I want to record somewhere. What do you think? What are the chances we can go record somewhere?
We can record live from our draft if you want.
Maybe, but I'm talking about like an English pub, mate. Nah, but anyways,
maybe it's not in our budget to go to England just yet.
No, definitely not. But I also want to talk about English EPL is going to kick off August 13th. Boom!
Yeah, definitely.
But anyways, yeah. So whenever you want to stop recording, but I think I lost 2 pounds in this garage, dude. Fuck. I'm delusional. I drink 2 Miller Lights and I'm sweating like a bitch.
All right. All right, Manuel. So we got the shout outs. Peace out.
Yeah, peace out.
Tired of losing? Not winning enough? Sports Gamble Podcast. Your mom's favorite sports gamble podcast.